We'll certify the March 27th, 2009 RAIN report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the RAIN report. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, the National Registry of Certified MCOM Volunteers, NRCEV, is an organization that specializes in certifying emergency communications volunteers. Unfortunately, its efforts have yet to be recognized by either the U.S. government or the American Radio Relay League, ARRL. According to NRCEV co-founder and executive director Chris Snyder, NG3F, this organization certifies both teams and individuals.
For individuals, we have four levels of certification. The first level does not require an amateur radio operator's license. This is the most basic level, but this one is also designed to be obtainable by those involved with REAC, maybe CERT teams, things like that, that are involved in communications but aren't necessarily amateur radio operators. Some of the other components are primarily those things on what you need to prepare, basic net procedures, operating procedures, those kinds of things. If you completed the ARRL MCOM Level 1 course, the Colorado Aries ECOM training or Kentucky Aries course, or the REACT course, Program Level 1, with a few other courses in there, you would meet the second level. The third and fourth levels are primarily designed more for those that would be in, quote, supervisory or managerial type positions, net supervisors, net managers, team leaders, things like that. And the last one is more for those that ECs, ROs, those that oversee an emergency communications program. All the courses roughly align up with the ARRL courses. We do use them as a base, as well as the Colorado and Kentucky Aries courses. We don't require a specific course. We have identified training areas and learning objectives, and we know that all these courses meet those. So if you take those courses, we give you credit. The additional courses and things we require are FEMA independent study courses, which can be found at the FEMA website. Those are all free. They're done online. There are the courses on, example, IS-700, which is an introduction to the National Incident Management System, IS-100 and 200, which are instance system command courses, ICS courses. Then, depending on the level of certification, also require other FEMA independent study courses that are designed to give volunteers a broader understanding of emergency management and how incidents and emergency management manages incidents so that they have a better understanding of the bigger picture, not just their role as communicators, so they better understand how they fit into the overall picture and therefore should be able to assist those overall operations even better. For communications support teams, we have multiple levels of those based on a typing structure. The lowest level, if you want to call it that, or the least capable level, is a Type 4, which is a two-person team, a mobile, portable, VHF, UHF voice team. Type 3, a little more capability, has three people on it, but this team also includes HF capability. Our Type 2 and Type 1 teams that we will certify are traditionally what you might call communications vans, communications trailers, and just the level of capability built into those is depending on which type you're looking at. Designed more to really act as a hub or a base from which other activities and amateurs and volunteers will function from. The last type of certification for teams that we offer is for what's called a strike team in the incident command system terminology. It is a set of 3 to 5, preferably 5 teams, whether it's traditionally would be our Type 4 or Type 3 teams, that work together as a group on a regular basis and could be requested or would deploy as a group. There's 1 to 2 people in there that are actually designated as team leaders for all 5 of the smaller groups. Those also would be the typical type of resource ordering type of structures that organizations, incident management teams, whatever, might utilize to request amateurs. The other component that we're working on, and it's going to be a little while until we're able to roll it out and actually initiate it, is a position qualification system. Right now, individual certification does include a skill verification process. It's very basic in nature at this point, but it is there. This position qualification system will have 23 specific positions, from voice operators to digital operators, supervisory positions like team leaders, things like that, and additional positions that are designed to plug into like an incident management team's public information officer, liaison officers, technical folks, things like that. The whole process would plug into an incident command system. It's not a separate system. It would actually be designed to plug into it. The model for the system is that used by the National Wildland Fire Coordination Group, which is made up of all the federal entities that fight wildland fires. Now, they've been around for quite a long time. They have had a position qualification system in place for the people that they use to fight wildland fire. The Department of Homeland Security, NIMS Integration Center, which is called the NIC, has specifically identified this system as the most preferred system to base a qualification system on, and it's actually the one that they use when they're developing their own positions for different areas. So that's why we based it on that. It'll be a little while till we can roll it out. There's some logistical issues that are fairly significant in actually being able to properly deploy this to make sure that all those volunteers out there that want to partake in this have access to it and have access to it without any significant burden on them. In fact, our whole system is sort of set up around some key principles that we try to adhere to. The first and foremost is that it's a voluntary process. It's not something that is required. The only requirements that may come in is sort of the federal guidelines. If you want to play, so to speak, on federal incidents, you have to play by their rules.
You're listening to the thoughts of Chris Snyder, NG3F, co-founder and executive director of NRCEV, the National Registry of Certified MCOM Volunteers. Hap Holly will conclude his interview with Chris in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, just a few keystrokes away from therainreport.com, and available to you who have permanently attached your cell phones and Blackberries to your upper torsos at 773-358-7845, thanks to Uddle Systems, UDDLE.com. That terrestrial dial-up number, again, is 773-358-7845. We'll be right back. This is the RAIN Report.
The requirements need to be common for everybody. As I mentioned before, it doesn't matter what organization you belong to. In other words, it doesn't matter if you participate in ARES or RACES or with an auxiliary communication service, a sheriff's search and rescue team, whatever the case may be, a local club, and you want to obtain the certification. The requirements are the same across the board. They're not tilted towards, or at least not intentionally so, towards any one organization, one system, that kind of thing. They also have to be applicable to whether they're amateur or non-amateur volunteers. As I said, we try to reach out to REACT and a lot of these other groups that utilize communications volunteers but don't necessarily use amateur radio. And it needs to work, these certifications, within organizations that have different structures, whether it's the ARL field structure with ARES or a local county or a club or something else, they can all fit within there. Training requirements need to be applicable across the board. And to meet the requirements should not require an undue burden, a significant burden on any volunteer's part to be able to meet them. Most volunteers that train on any regular basis have taken the ARL courses, the Colorado, Kentucky courses. If you've taken those and a couple online FEMA independent study courses, you should easily be able to meet the training requirements. They need to include some courses, as I mentioned before, that help the amateurs have that broader understanding of the environment they're operating in, incident command, emergency management, those kinds of things. And then also those courses required to be, quote, NIMS compliant. Government agencies and a lot of the large non-governmental organizations that receive federal funding are required to be NIMS compliant, which, like everything else, means that rolls downhill, and those that support them, part of their organization, will need to meet those requirements as well. So that's why we have included those. That way, you've obtained certification from us, people know you've met the requirements. Another thing was to keep the fees as low and reasonable as possible. That's always an issue. But it does cost money to do the activity we're doing. Right now, it's all volunteer, but at some point that may need to change depending on the level of activity, but there needs to be some mechanism to support that. Initial certification is $25. That's good for 3 years. Part of the certification process and any certification process is also a recertification requirement. It's not a do once and done. You must recertify every 3 years to maintain certification. And part of that recertification is continual education requirements. And a recertification fee is $15. So it's not a lot, but those funds do help us offset some of the costs that we have. There's a lot of the fundamental requirements we have that we try to operate the program for. People often ask if our certifications are recognized by anybody. Not yet. And also, where do we get the authority to actually develop and issue certification? That's always an interesting question because there is no authority to be requested. There's no government agency. There's nothing for anybody to go out and say, can we get permission to do these certifications? In a sense, we don't need the authority to develop a certification and then promote it and offer it. Where the recognition comes in then down the line is hopefully through the amateur radio community itself. And I think we can see signs of starting to build some of that. And then the other is really through those organizations that make use of those volunteers that have the certification. Our primary focus for obtaining that recognition at this point is through federal and other government entities. They're the ones that have the responsibility to manage incidents. Incidents that as amateurs, we would be responding and deploying to support. That's the route that we're primarily going for, quote, official recognition that way. We're also looking at other local governments, a regional type of organizations that involve for emergency management purposes from that level. That's a work in process. Even certification boards for physicians. I know there has been a new one recently developed for disaster medicine, a board certification. It's brand new. So they have the same issues as far as obtaining recognition for that certification for doctors. We're in that process as well.
What kind of response have you been getting from the amateur community and from the ARRL specifically?
From the amateur community so far has been a little mixed. A lot of the questions have really been more of the why us, not the RRL kind of thing. You know, where do we get our authority? And that was really a lot more initially. It seems to be a lot of folks really feel that what we're doing is something that's needed and that they hope we succeed. Having said that, we've issued certifications in a number of states, although we have not issued large numbers yet. We've issued them in Pennsylvania, Missouri, Louisiana, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Washington. So we have actually issued them across the nation. Our certification board is made up from people from about 5 different states. So I think that there's a lot out there that may like to see the ARRL do something. We've gotten a lot more comments that way than we have actual people applying for certification. So I think there's a lot that are waiting to see how things go. If we're going to stick around or not, that kind of thing. Our plan is to definitely do so. We've approached the ARRL at least twice in an effort to at least try to strike up a dialogue and, I mean, hopefully collaborate with them. Their field structure would be a perfect match for what we're trying to do. I haven't heard anything back from them. I'm not an ARRL basher. I don't agree with everything they do, but I do support them. I'd love to work with them.
If someone would like to read more about your National Registry of Certified NCOM Volunteers project, where would they go?
There's 3 ways they can find out more information. They can go to our website at www.nrcev.org. They can email us at info@nrcev.org. Or they could give us a call. We have an 800 number, 866-446-7969. 866-446-7969.
This concludes Hap Hawley's conversation with Chris Snyder, NG3F, co-founder and executive director for the National Registry of Certified MCOM Volunteers, NRCEV. The URL to the NRCEV and email address for its executive director, Chris Snyder, will be found on the site's mention page on the RAIN Report website. Note, we wish NRCEV well in their endeavors. We likewise encourage the ARRL to at least engage in meaningful dialogue with Snyder's organization, which is ready and willing to do so, and deserves the opportunity. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2009. RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Hawley, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.